Feeling really fly to right now.
It's time for you to earn your stripes, Johnny.
Take the money and run.
That was so hard. You can't die. You cheater. You can't die.
This is a wild game of survival. This is a wild game of survival.
We are live. Coming here with a brand new Stir the Pod podcast show. I am your host for the first time in the history of the podcast. I am your host, Adam Meadows. And tonight, we are joined by nobody. Verbal meme, John Travolta walking into the room, looking around. I mean, where the fuck is everybody? We'll get into it, I assure you. We'll get into some of the chicanery about how I ended up in this seat, some of the bullshit rules that were posed on me. We'll get into some of the, I guess, some of the nuances of how this is going to be different than other solo pods in the past. But I want to start out just making sure that the chat's with me. So let's see. We got Stir the Pod in the chat. It's literally me. That's Spider-Man meme-esque. I see we got Andy Beerhey, new listener, I think. Welcome to the chat. Glad to have you, buddy. Let's see. I'm waiting on maybe the McCores, Mikey, the doctors of the world. But if they don't show up, no big deal. We're going to have a party. I've got, you guys might. Let's see. Mikey, the doctor. What's up, buddy? Alexa, that's like an Apple product. What up, boys? I'm glad you joined the chat today. Listen, you might be wondering, Adam, what the fuck are you going to talk about? The fun alley was last week. Are you going to talk about that? No, that was a shit show. The reunion was tonight. Are you going to talk about the reunion? No, I didn't watch it, to be frank with you. Is this like an off-season pod? Are you going to recap the season? No, I'm going to join the formal recap. This is my way back into the good graces of Stir the Pod. And so we have a very specific topic. And some of you might already know this. Some of you probably saw this on Twitter or X. I think we even have a Stir the Pod Instagram account. I'm not really sure how that's going. Maybe even Threads. Do people still use fucking Threads? I'm not really sure. But if you haven't seen the topic for today's podcast, I would like to formally welcome you to Legends Tour, Anissa Ferrara. Tick, 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 tick. Fumble. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we go back to 1982, where Anissa Ferrara is born onto the scene with a bigger pop than a Bryce Harper home run at the bank. Anissa navigates her way through the Jason streets of Philadelphia, and Tony Romo's her way through the Lower Marion Barber School District until she joins America's team. Buna Murray, that is. We head to Chicago, Illinois in 2001, where Anissa joins the 11th season cast of The Real World. At just 19 years old, Anissa sees more underage mischief in the Windy City than a Josh Giddey Thunder Road game at the United Center. That's a good one, Boom. Thanks, Teach. Some spread. We go to Montego, baby, baby, baby. Oh, like baby, baby, baby. No, Jamaica for Anissa's rookie season, Battle of the Sexes, where Anissa makes a Justin Belieber out of almost nobody, getting booted early. Anissa goes home. What? We move to Trinidad and the 14-year-old Tobago, where Anissa enters Gauntlet 2 with her eyes on being the top Snoop Dogg. She dishes out both head, bangers, and weeds out the competition, making it to her first final. But the team she wanted wasn't all that bump and boom, as she makes Philly native Max Talenti proud, getting another Philadelphia second place. What? We head to Brazil for the Mario Party duel, where Anissa wagers all her stars in I Can, losing just one episode before the final to Svetlana Del Rey, experiencing a bout of summertime sadness. I got that summertime sadness. I can, more like I cannot win. What? Fumble. In Cape Town, South Africa, Anissa joins the cast of Inferno CP3, hoping she can Blake Griff win her first ring. But unfortunately, she was knocked out by Paula George, causing her to say, Kawhi, did it have to happen this way? I thought I had a chance at being the Terrence Mann, but I zubotched my chances. I thought I was making a Donald Sterling reputation for myself, but it seems like losing is becoming my Elton Brand. I didn't even come home with an Adam Silver medal. About halfway done. Tick, 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 tick. Whoop. We head to the Dominican One Republic, where Anissa gets a same-sex partner in Rachel Ray Allen, saying, I'm getting there. Picture me switching back and forth between male and female. But Rachel says, it's too late to apologize. It's too late. Anissa gets knocked out by Paula again. Whoop. We head to Costa Rica for the rival season, where Anissa is partnered up with Batman and Robin. She was hoping she would Joseph Gordon levitate above her competition, but that proved to be a joker as the Dark Knight Rises and Paula takes out Anissa again in the sequel. These losses are starting to become the bane of her existence and put a real Harvey Dent in her resume. We head to Phuket, Thailand for Rivals 2, where Anissa experiences everything from A to Jay-Z. But Anissa's sister Rihanna wasn't there to prevent a fight with Trishella, Ella, Ella, under my Trishella, Ella, Ella, Anissa becomes a made woman by linking up and getting sworn into Diem and Christopher Maltisanti Tamborello's crew. She thought she had a chance to outlast Emily and Polly Walnuts, but ultimately they're sent packing by Jimmy and Carmilla Soprano. Some spread. In Checking If You're Still Watching Netflix Republic, Anissa brings her sister on Battle of the Netflix's Bloodline. Anissa and Rihanna get a message from Kyle Chandler that says, clear eyes, full heart, can lose? To Cara Maria. What? Off to Marbella, Spain, where Anissa joins the cast as a Rogue Nation mercenary, hoping to Ethan Hunt her competition for a shot at glory. Verona couldn't face mask her pain, as she said, IMF, ing in fucking pain, during the elimination. Anissa breaks Veronica's finger in a torturous scene that could only make Solomon Lane proud. And she wins her mercenary elimination and self-destructs Veronica's chances at winning in less than 5 seconds. Fumble! We head to Reykjavik, Iceland for Double Agents, where Anissa needs all the fight in the dog to make it past the halfway. Bark, bark! In one of the biggest upsets of the season, Anissa knocks off Golden Retriever Tori before getting stuck on a spit in a loss to Big Terrier. Anissa gets put down again. Whoop! And finally, we go south to Buenos Aires, Argentina, where Anissa joins the Ride or Die Hard cast, partnered up with Jord Hans Gruber. Bruce, will this be the season Anissa finally brings home a win, or will she take a big Samuel L. Jackson? She made it a Justin long way to the final, but ultimately her chances proved to be slim to Nani. Johnny and Nani send her packing. Fumble! What? And that was the fastest 2 minutes. Anissa Ferrara, brought to you by SeatGeek, brought to you by Adam Meadows. My throat is shot. Let's give one clap to the producer, Trev, of the podcast, for making the tech check happen. I'm going to take a sip of water and catch up on the chat. Happy to see the chats popping. Love you, boys. All right. So let's see. My throat is fucking toast. All right, so if that didn't give it away, the topic of today's podcast is Legends Tour Anissa Ferrara. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing that. unlike some of the other names of guests or, you know, topics like Judd, like Ferrara is actually something that I struggled to pronounce. It might be my pronunciation dyslexia. Shout out Bill Simmons. But nonetheless, we are here to discuss Anissa tonight. All right. So if you guys are new to the podcast, or maybe you're unfamiliar with what's going on, you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? Every year, we do, well, really, it's every season, but, you know, the seasons last like 52 episodes. So it's basically once a year, Stir the Pod does a solo pod punishment. Okay. So we do some sort of dagger pull, some sort of double cross. And one of the co-hosts between the four of us, Adam, Trev, Alex, Andy, we will go on and do a solo podcast to give the others a break. Usually it's kind of during the finale of the season we're currently covering. Obviously, I did bail a couple weeks ago. Listen, we'll get into it because there's some propaganda being spewed. I don't necessarily agree with all of the punishments that have been levied out. But nonetheless, I do owe a solo podcast. So that's what I'm here to do today. So, all right. Hey, Adam, your voice sounds... Andy says, hey, Adam, your voice sounds rough. Did you go to a concert last night? No, I did a solo pod. Yeah, you know, when I get back to my second job tomorrow, I'm going to have to explain that it was a rough night at my real job, which is Stir the Pot. So, all right. I have a framework for how I want this podcast to unfold, but I am also completely on board if this just goes completely off the rails, okay? And I know that's not rare for Stir the Pod, whether I'm on the episode or not. I know that going off the rails is pretty customary, so I'm assuming my live chat is going to be more than capable of reacting and adapting to that. By the way, I was thinking about this morning when I was kind of like mentally prepping for the pod. I knew it was going to get off the rails, and then I started thinking about the first thing that my mind goes to when I think of off the rails. And so I know, like, I think the phrase must come from like a train literally going like off the tracks, right? But for me, the first thing that I think of when I think of off the rails is Harry Potter, and not even the Hogwarts Express, but I think of Gringotts Bank when they're like in, you know, the little caves and tunnels and the little goblins. I know Trev probably bulges at the little people, but the little goblins are like guiding them in the little trolley car. That's what I think of as like going off the rails. And then, you know, you got the fire breathing dragons and all that bullshit down below. But that, so anyways, if we end up in like one of the lowest vaults possible in the Gringotts Bank, and maybe we're digging for Hermione's gold, like that is completely fine by me. All right. I don't really see anything in the chat other than Big O Critico. What's up, buddy? Thanks for joining the podcast. It's always good to have maybe the only person that I would consider more of a challenge savant than myself. So Critico, glad to have you, buddy. All right. We're going to get into some opening thoughts about Anissa. By the way, the other ground rules that were levied against me, which I'm a man of my word, I'm going to stick to these ground rules. I might have to stall a little bit, but the two rules I have are 45-minute quota. I have to hit 45 minutes discussing Anissa. You heard that right. Anissa, the one, the only, 45 minutes on Anissa. And then my second rule is I am not allowed to mention a certain challenger with red hair and freckles, who's won a few challenges. Maybe he's a political mastermind. I'm not allowed to mention that person by name, first name, last name, nickname, any variation. Those are my two rules. I honestly don't know which of the two is going to be harder. I'm looking at my timestamp. The fastest 2 minutes, that took a lot out of me. Like, I don't know how many more of these I got left in me, Teach. But nonetheless, those are my two rules. 45 minutes, can't mention that one person that you know I'm talking about. All right, so here's my framework. If this was Adam's boy, he would say it. Rob. Alex says Rob. Derek and Rob. God, I can't even do that. My throat is fucking gone. All right. Let's see. I think this topic that they gave me, you know, they were thinking it was going to be pretty bod as a topic. I'd say it's a little more Maso Menos than they intended for it to be, for no reason other than the fact that Anissa has longevity, right? She's been on a million seasons. If I did that about, like, fucking, like, if they gave me Jessica from Portland, I think that's Andy's guy, so, you know, we can't give that as a punishment. He'll probably, he would want to do that one. But if they gave me Jessica from Portland, my fastest 2 minutes would have been, like, 25 seconds. At least Anissa has a big enough resume where we can actually talk about funny moments, we can talk about good moments, we can talk about embarrassing moments. There's a lot of ground to cover. Mikey the Doctor says, the guy that got carried up a mountain by Kenny, I don't, that might be somebody else. I don't really think that happened, Mikey. I don't know. I know you know your challenge facts, and we might get into some trivia later, but that seems a little bit like fake news. So yeah, I'm not really sure. But all right, let's get into it. I wanted to start, this will just be kind of like an intro to Anissa. I wanted to go over just some counting stats, just some by the numbers. So Anissa is obviously a veteran. I mean, she's getting up there in age. So by my count, Anissa is 22 years old, or I guess she's definitely not 22. I was going to say she's 42. I'm pretty sure she's 41. If I do my math right, she'll turn 42 this year. She was born on September 11th, 1982. Two things stick out to me there. One, that's a long fucking time ago. Two, she was born on 9/11. I don't really have a commentary on that. I'm just going to say that's interesting. Born in Narbeth, Pennsylvania. I unfortunately don't have any contacts that lived in or around the Philadelphia area, so I really don't have any insight into Narbeth or what that's like, or any like high schools or basketball prodigies that might have come out of there. I wish I knew somebody that worked at like a university around that area, but I just don't have those connections. Anissa first. Anissa, Mikey the Doctor says, if we're going by the numbers, can we give a weight for each season and watch it steadily increase? I can't even finish that content. Listen, Mikey, I'm not going to read the rest of that comment. You're not going to get me this early in the night. We'll see how this progresses. Anissa first appeared on The Real World Chicago, which was filmed in 2001, debuted on TV in 2002. She has done 19 seasons of The Challenge. She has made it to 4 finals. Her best team finish is 2nd place. Her best individual finish is 3rd place. She has 45 daily wins. She is 14 and 14 in eliminations. So she is tied for the record in elimination wins from a female with Cara Maria. She also holds the record for most elimination losses from a female with 14. She's exactly 500. She's 1-1 in redemption challenges, 1-0 as a mercenary. She's won $62,000 over the course of her challenge career, which if you extrapolate that to her seasons played, that's like $3,100 per season, which is less than ideal. She's also raised $6,000 to charity. So you know what? One clap for Anissa and charity. Anissa or Jameis, says Andy. I don't know. Do I understand? I'm not sure if I understand that. 19, we'll cut that. Okay. Her wins. Let's do a quick one by one of the people that she's beaten in elimination. She's beaten Paula twice. She's beaten Robin, DM, Siobhan, Tori. That's Brad's Tori, old school Tori, Jasmine and Tyree, John A., Marie, Nicole, Jenna, the main Tori Deal, Beth and Cyrus, I think that was All Stars, Casey and Kenny, that's HBO Max Kenny. By the way, Kenny, if you're listening, True Detective just wrapped up. I don't see White Lotus season 3 in your term sites. If you got a HBO show recommendation for me, hit me up, buddy. I'm looking for one. And then Amber and Chauncey. Those are her wins in the elimination floor. She's also lost to Svetlana Del Rey. She's lost to Paula 3 times, which is absurd because I just mentioned she's beaten Paula twice. Two and three against Paula in 5 total eliminations. She's also lost to Evelyn Dunbar, Carmilla Soprano and Jemmy, Laurel twice, Kayla, which you guys know how I feel about Kayla, Veronica, Michelle, but that's not Michelle. Let's do here on the spot trivia question. What is the last name of the Michelle that Anissa has lost to in an elimination? Mikey the doctor, where are you at with this one? No, I just said it's not Michelle. It's not Michelle Fitzgerald. We're going back. I will say it is a season that you recap. Well, this might give it away. I think it's a show that you previewed but did not recap. If that maybe gives it away. And I could be mixing the seasons up. That's the hint. All right, you guys are failing already. That's one of the easier trivia questions I've got planned. I'm sure Big O Critico it's on the tip of his tongue. It's the same season as Kim Glass. She lost to Michelle Watterson, who is a UFC fighter. We don't have any UFC fans in the chat apparently, which I guess that kind of makes sense. To round out the losses, she's lost to Bailey Blanket. Big T, I don't remember that Big T one though. That's kind of the one that kind of got lost in the memory. I'm not sure if there's any sort of like visual component to it that can maybe jog my memory. But she's also lost to Laurel's partner Yawk. I believe it's how it's pronounced, or maybe it's Yawk, as Trev would put it. She's also lost to Fezzy, but you know what? No harm, no foul on that one. That's a tough matchup against the former University of Tennessee guy. She's also lost to Mariah, Casey, and Kenny, which she also beat them. Here's one of my early gripes with a career of the person of Anissa's longevity is that you start getting into this era where you're beating and losing to the same people in the same season. It's just like, what are we fucking doing? Like, what's like the Redemption House, the Exile, all this bullshit? It's like, can we just go back to the simple days? Two partners, either they fucked in the past or they fought in the past, put them up against eight other two-person pairs, ball in the middle of a mud pit, wrestle it out, one team wins, one team loses, losing team goes into elimination, winning team picks the other team, duke it out, one team goes home. Like, can we just get back to that? And then the Banana Man and Nani are her last two losses in the most recent season. So that's kind of Anissa big picture. If I try to boil it down to an NBA comparison, the best thing I could come up with for Anissa is Al Jefferson. If you're not an NBA fan, Al Jefferson is somebody, he had a career between like the mid 2000s to the late 2010s. So a longer career. He was a center, kind of an old school center, big man, definitely fluctuated a bit in terms of maybe his physical stature, but always knew how to use his lower body, always knew how to kind of bully people around. He was on some decent but not great Hornets teams with Kemba, so he was kind of the number two to Kemba Walker. I would love to see Anissa on Fresh Meat 3. That's a really good idea. Mikey the Doctor, Alex Birch, Trevor Fontan, Big O Critico, and I think I got everybody in the chat. That all of you guys just nailing it with that recommendation. So yeah, anyways, Anissa, NBA comp, Al Jefferson. Okay. I've got a couple of other kind of off the cuff Anissa facts, maybe some nuggets. But I'm gonna save those. Let's pivot. Again, I think I'm halfway through my quota already, which feels fantastic because nothing would make me happier than to shut this off and start talking about somebody whose name I'm not allowed to say. But we'll get into that Chattanooga. Okay, so how I structured today's podcast is we are going to cover Anissa's career through the format of a Ringer Rewatchables podcast. All right. If you're unfamiliar with the Rewatchables, this is a podcast put forth by Bill Simmons and some of his Ringer cronies, where they cover a movie from the past and they go through categories basically just as a way to open up and facilitate conversation about that movie. We're going to do the exact same thing, but about Anissa's career, okay? So with that, let's kick it off with the first category for tonight. We're going to go with most rewatchable scene. And by the way, I've got a couple of nominees. I would love some extra nominees thrown in the chat. I would love for you guys to help me pick the winner of that award. I've got kind of an idea of what I want to choose in my mind, but you know what? This is democracy, and we're all in an alliance together. So let's fucking do it, all right? So most rewatchable scene for Anissa. I'm already seeing clear answer. So a couple of nominees. Again, you can throw out more. I've got Back Off versus Siobhan. That's one of her, I'd say, more dominating physical eliminations. Pole Wrestle versus Kara. I've got Oppenheimer versus Laurel. She actually lost that one, but I remember it being kind of cool, visually stunning. Probably the best, most cinematic Oppenheimer I've ever seen, really, if you ask me. Verbally dominating Evelyn is something I put from Inferno 3. I don't know. I watched an Anissa montage. This was a fucking bear to prep for this. But I saw this clip and I was legitimately impressed with Anissa, because I think of Evelyn as being just like a cold stone fucking killer, and Anissa held her own. So that was pretty cool. And then my last nominee, I've got the pig roast. I've got the pig roast from Double Agents, which I mentioned in the fastest 2 minutes. I'm ready for that Oppenheimer joke. No, I was definitely off the cuff. Anyways, so I don't know. For me, in looking back, I know some of you might prefer the pig roast, but for me, most rewatchable scene that I saw during my prep work for this, I really liked the elimination against Siobhan. And I've got a clip pulled up that maybe now would be a good time to show it, just to show you guys how physical this was. And I know that Siobhan isn't some like fucking stud, but you'll see just how soft the challenge has gotten over the recent years when they're letting two bumbling buffoons like Anissa and Siobhan go at it this hard. So let me cue this up, and then I'm in favor of making this most rewatchable scene.
Right now, we're not even wrestling to win these rings. She's swinging her fist at me. I'm kicking her. We're literally brutally fighting.
As you can see, again, Siobhan, I'm not trying to say she's fucking Laurel or Emily Schramm or anything, but she fucking manhandled them. And did you guys see how they were literally fist fighting? Like what has happened in the challenge these days? I mean, I feel like you can get kicked off the show for breathing on somebody. Was it like 2 seasons ago where Ashley got kicked off for saying something or like offending somebody, but they didn't actually show it on the show? Meanwhile, Anissa and Siobhan are literally fist fighting in the arena. So I'm going to go ahead and give that the most rewatchable scene. Another funny thing that happened, two funny things that happened if you watch the rest of that clip. One, they cut to a confessional from MJ, who I'm Maso Minos on MJ, but he had a funny line. He said, Anissa and the boob girl are duking it out. And I was just like, I mean, make the challenge great again. The boob girl. And then the second funny thing is Siobhan, after she lost, she tried to do the, you know, like say goodbye to everybody. And she said, come give me a hug. And nobody fucking went down to hug her. It looked like, I think they were in New Zealand during the winter time. And so you got like Evan, Brad, Mark Long, Landon, and they're all like in these big puffer coats and they're just kind of like hands in their pockets, just sitting there, just kind of like, see you, Siobhan. Like they don't move a fucking inch. So that was good. Okay, moving on to the next category. What's aged the best? So this is something, what's aged the best in Anissa's career? A couple of nominees for me are eliminations. Again, she is tied for the female lead in number of elimination wins. Politics, I feel like especially late in her career, she's gotten really good at just kind of navigating the game. She's always kind of a shoo-in to make it about halfway at least. And then confessionals slash sound bites. Those are a few of the ones for me. I don't know. I'm personally a fan of giving the nod to eliminations in this category, just because, again, she does have a few impressive wins, not just the type of elimination it was. Like, she's won multiple pole wrestles, multiple, not hall brawls, but kind of hall brawl adjacent. And she's beaten some big names too. She's beaten both Cara Maria. She's beaten both Tories. She's beaten Amber and Chauncey. She's beaten John A, who's a two-time champ in the All-Stars series. So I'm gonna get it to eliminations unless there's any objections there. All right, not seeing anything in the chat, so let's move on to what's aged the what's aged the worst. Longevity is a great nominee. I didn't catch that fast enough, but good job, Alex Bierhey. Okay, what's aged the worst? Number one, I gotta go with her birthday. I mean, I mentioned it at the jump, but she's literally born on 9/11. That I don't know what it says, but that says something. Two is endurance. That's always gonna be something that sticks with her. And then three, I put hooking up with Corey. I mean, I don't know, sue me. So what do you guys think? What's aged the worst? Is it something related to her physical prowess? Is it literally being born on one of America's worst days? A tough day in America, plus the 2004 redraftables. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let's see, checking in the chat. Ashley called Josh gay. Is that really the reason? That's just absurd. Mikey the doctor says Anissa has been hooking up with Nerissa's brother. Okay, switching back and forth between male and female. I believe I called that physical appearance. All right, we're gonna go with 9/11. You know, not to make light of the situation, but T's and P's go out to everybody. Pete Davidson, Kevin from the league, everybody that was affected. Okay, next category is the Big Kahuna Burger Award for the greatest use of food or drink in Anissa's career. All right, so in the rewatchables, this is about, you know, any scene that involves, you know, a particularly tasty looking food or beverage. A couple of nominees for me. Anissa, you know, as you are probably aware, is no stranger to food or drink. And no, I'm literally talking about on the challenge. Like, she has eaten a lot. Within the confines of the game. So don't cancel me for that. But a couple of nominees I put are Slimy Pork Nose, Coxcomb Skewers. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Hard Boiled Cow's Eye, Chicken Intestine Smoothie. I put Giant Water Rat, which is, it's nuts to me because I don't remember her eating Emmanuel. And then you could obviously put, and someone put it in the chat, you could always put pizza or any of the pasta variations. You know, there have been many of these. Anissa had a huge bowl of pasta at 9 a.m. in the house last season. That's a thing that happens, says Alex. That's a good one. Pig roast. I guess that could count. Pig roast could count. So listen, we've all thrown out good nominees. I've been holding one tight to the vest. I'm just going to do executive decision here. The winner of this category is not going to be anything that I listed. It's not going to be anything that you put in the chat. The winner of the Big Kahuna Burger Award for greatest use of food or drink in Anissa's career is going to go to Barstool JJ's description of Anissa. So if you're a longtime AWL of Stir the Pod / BMFEP, you know that our roots come from the No Quitters podcast from the Barstool Network. And one of the hosts on that podcast was very proud of this description and maybe overused it to, you know, if we're being honest, he overused it a touch, and that's fine. But his description of Anissa was that Anissa resembled an ice cream cake of Rihanna, but one that you left out in the sun for like 2 to 3 hours. And so that's going to be the winner of the Big Kahuna Burger Award. All right. Next award, next category is going to be the Dion Waiters Award for the greatest heat check moment in Anissa's career. If you are a basketball fan, you'll know that Dion Waiters is what you would call a microwave scorer. He's somebody that comes off the bench. You know, he's going to fire up threes right away. He's going to make an impact. Good or bad, you are going to know that he's on the court in a short spurt. There's really only one thing I could think of And it's like a legitimate answer. If you have more smirky answers in the chat, I will definitely accept those. But for me, the Dion Waiters award for Anissa is definitely her mercenary appearance on Vendettas. So she came in, that was the same time that I think Cam, Derek from that other podcast, Challenge Mariah or whatever, Challenge Mafia, beat Joss, and then Jordan beat Shane, and then Anissa beat Veronica. And she came in there and she ripped that fucking pole out of Veronica's hands, and Veronica literally broke her finger. So, you know, that was a one episode hit it or quit it type of deal. And I thought she did really good. So I'm comfortable giving Dion Waiters to her performance on Vendettas, unless there are objectives. I'm not seeing anything in the chat that would say otherwise, but again, I'll wait here for Critico. Has been quiet, a little too quiet, if you ask me. Okay. Let's see. Chat still with me? I'm not catching anything. I'm just gonna assume I'm still live. Okay. Moving on, we have the Great Shot Gordo Award for the most cinematic shot in Anissa's career. My mic is not, fuck off. My mic is not off. Critique. Not too many Dion Waiters-y things is a very fair point. That's a very valiant point. Okay. Great Shot Gordo Award for the most cinematic shot in Anissa's career. A couple of nominees are any type of drone shot, you know, especially lately. It's always over water. You've even gotten helicopters lately. Pigros, you can't. This is very MVP, LVP-esque. If you're going to pick Pigros, all right, it's off the board, okay? And by the way, we'll get into MVP, LVP, all right? That, let me just preface this now. That segment is going to be very interesante, as I always say. All right, Great Shot Gordo Award. I'm thinking any drone shots, anytime, you know, say what you want about how they, you know, are blowing up the budget and making these shows way too complicated. Making the daily challenges just stupid complex when all we need is a ball in a mud pit. But they do get some pretty cool shots of the mountains, the lakes, the wilderness of the world. So those are a couple of nominees. But my personal pick in this one, and this is another kind of a serious one, a non-jokey one, if you will, is Diem taking off her wig for the first time on The Duel. Now you might say, Adam, that's DM. What does that have to do with Anissa? Well, Anissa was part of kind of the rat pack, if you will, to use another one of my Adam favorite terms, rat pack. She was part of the rat pack of women that were encouraging, like, oh, hey, production, can we get shower caps? You know, we'll cover our hair. And so Anissa was definitely part of that scene. And of course, she was not the main focus. But nonetheless, that proved to be, in my opinion, one of the most, in all seriousness, one of the most beautiful shots in challenge history. It is kind of ironic, though, because I'm pretty sure DM at that point in time still had longer hair than Anissa, which is kind of beside the point. But anyways, Anissa, part of the Rat Pack, and obviously rest in peace to DM. Okay, next category. We're going to go with the Den of Thieves Benihana Award. This is going for the scene-stealing location. So I have a couple of nominees here. I have the bunker. People forget they were in a bunker for an entire season, except for literally half the season when they weren't in the bunker because they were out at the club, which is just something that I guess I should say the club, because you know me, I always say it that way. So the bunker is going to be one of the nominees. The igloo is going to be one of the nominees. That was, again, another club classic Nitos. The Rivals 2 House. I like the Rivals, sue me. I like the Rivals 2 House. I like the little narrow kind of infinity pool. I like how it was kind of a jungle-y vibe, to be honest. So that's a nominee. I've got just kind of a generic one, the scaffolding over water. Anytime you see scaffolding over water, it looks cool. It's a cool scene. Does it lead to a good daily challenge? No, I mean, just literally no. Nonetheless, I'll keep that as a nominee. And then here's the one time I don't think I've seen you guys nominate it. I put a nominee for the lovely city, the lovely fictional city of Springfield. This was going to be one of my nominees for the scene stealing location is the home of Mr. Homer Simpson for the pig roast. And you know what? I think it now is a good time as any to pull up something that I've had dialed up for weeks. Live look at our scene stealing location for Anissa's career. There it is. All right. Okay. The next category is the Mallory Rubin Award for Does This Need a Better Sex Scene? This is one where I didn't do too much research on. I'll tell you what I'm aware of. What I'm aware of is Corey, Rachel. I mean, she was exes with Rachel. Although I don't really remember seeing that on screen, I have to assume those are kind of the two. But I guess if I had to, Andy, you know what, Andy, you make a good point. And with that note, I think I will go ahead and hand out this award for the Mallory Rubin Does This Need a Better Sex Scene to, one second, I queued this up and now I am failing you. All right, my answer for the Mallory Rubin Award, Does This Need a Better Sex Scene, is Jesus Christ.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
All right, so a couple of you have me pegged. Winner of that category is No, God, No. All right, next category. Casting what ifs. This is where you discuss, hey, what would have happened if, you know, in Rounders, they would have had Ben Affleck play Mikey McDee instead of Matt Damon. I actually have some good ones for this. Okay. So this goes back just one season ago on Ride or Dies. So I think this is common knowledge, but Naya was supposed to be Jordan's ride or die. And then Anissa was supposed to go on the season with a full-fledged rando, someone she knew back from Philly. And both Naya and the rando got COVID during their little quarantine preseason. And so that's why Anissa and Jordan partnered up. So it's a big time cat. Oh, and one other thing is because that was supposed to be two teams, and then that only formed into one team, they called up the first alternate, which was Horacio and Olivia. So it's a huge sliding doors moment. So a couple of questions that come to my mind for me are, if Naya is on that season with Jordan, do they win the whole fucking thing instead of Devin and Tori? And if that happens, are Devin and Tori on season 39? Probably not, because that was more like 1 to 2 seasons in type of people. They obviously wouldn't have been a champion at that point, but you know, what would they have done? And then if not, who would have replaced Tori and Devin as the mercenaries on season 39? Also, if Horacio and Olivia never get called up as alternates, are they on season 39? Does season 39 even exist in the format we knew it to be? Battle of a New Champion? Because that season fucking sucked. Imagine that season without Horacio and Olivia. Huge sliding doors moment. So casting what ifs is like, if Naya and Jordan are on Ride or Dies together, season 38, I legitimately think they take that home. I mean, Jordan made it to the finale with Anissa. And he almost won the whole damn thing, okay? So I think if that casting what if happens, I think Jordan gets another ring to his name. And I start to think, not only do we have the conversation of GOAT, I start to think Jordan has the upper leg. And then I start to think season 40, fuck all of you. I want to see Jordan Banana Man CT, 3-person season. I don't give a fuck. Battle of the GOAT, season 40. Whoever wins between those three, call it quits. Done deal. All right, that's casting what ifs. Let's see. Next category, we can start going rapid fire if you want. Vincent Chase Award for Are We Sure Anissa Is Good at Her Job? In honor of Vincent Chase, the actor. To my knowledge, her job is as a we'll call it a professional dancer, just to avoid getting canceled here. And if that's the case, do I pull up the Michael Scott video again? I'm kind of tempted to say no, she's not good at her job. Anyways, I think we can leave that one be. The next category is going to be the Butch's Girlfriend Award for the weakest link in Anissa's career. I've got nominees Battle of the Sexes, only because I've never seen it. It's not on Paramount Plus. I legitimately tried to watch it to prep for this. Paramount Plus starts at season 10. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, legitimately, why? Give me one solid reason. Why does MTV suck at everything media? So everything digital. Why is there no MTV app anymore, for that matter? And why did Trevor or Andy or one of those fucking idiots pick that for Mount Rushmore of things they love about the challenge? I'm sorry, but that is the dumbest pick in the history of this entire podcast. I digress. So Battle of the Sexes, Bloodlines, and then Spies, Lies, and Allies I put because I swear to God, I do not remember this at all. But apparently she made it 5 episodes in and they got medically disqualified and she was partnered with Logan. Logan, huh? Like, I remember Logan. He was kind of long-haired, I don't know if he's Spanish or Brazilian, like a kind of a Latin flair to him. A good-looking guy. I remember him. I do not remember the two of them as partners, and I don't remember them as partners. She made the final in Bloodlines, almost made the final. This is true, but are you going to tell your grandkids about Bloodlines? When's the last time you had a Bloodlines conversation? Like, let me go that route with you. So I don't know. I'm personally in favor of giving it to Battle of the Sexes or Bloodlines just because, I mean, I can't even fucking watch Battle of the Sexes and Bloodlines. Bloodline on Netflix, though, I put that in the fastest 2 minutes. That's a high quality show. Shout out Coach Eric Taylor. All right, we got a couple left here. I think I'm over my quota. So the we'll call them the W flags are about to start flying here. Alex Burt Beerhey is going Rivals. Interesting. I'm more of a 247 sports guy myself. Let's see. Okay. The next category is her career better with Wayne Jenkins, Danny Trejo, Catherine Hahn, Steve Buscemi, JT Walsh, Michael K. Williams, Samuel L. Jackson, Byron Mayo, Harlan Mays, or Philip Baker Hall? This one does not like really relate at all to the content of this podcast, but nonetheless, I have the bit prepared. So I imagine, the throat's gonna be fucking shot again. I imagine if Wayne Jenkins is involved in this universe, he's like, God damn, Anissa, I didn't know you were a fucking Philly stripper. This nightclub better have their permits or you're going away for a long fucking time, big dog. Okay, so that was the Wayne Jenkins bit. Next category is going to be the Mark Ruffalo, Vincent Hanna, Sal Rubinek, Linda Partridge. They knew and they let it happen. Two kids award for overacting. I have a couple of nominees. I have the injury that she suffered in Champs versus Stars, and I have more generic. I have any time she tries to get all tough. Like I was watching a couple of clips, and every time she tries to get tough or get in a fake fight with someone, it's very Fisher's fan at Noblesville High School esque, where she's always like, "Oh, you don't want to try me, boo boo. What you gonna do, boo? What you gonna do, boo?" And it's like, I just like, what's up with the boo? Like, what's up with the boo boo? Like, we got to get a better term for that. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like boo. Like, it makes me think of boo booey. Like, I didn't know Anissa was a Big Ten basketball fan. I figured she'd be more Big East from being from Philly, or not even Big East. I feel like Anissa would be like a Temple basketball fan, like one of those kind of under the radar Philly colleges. I don't know. Again, I just wish I knew somebody that had like intricate knowledge of kind of the inner workings of all of that. So I don't know. I personally, for this category, want to give the nod to her injury on Champs versus Stars. And the reason is because I have a clip. So let's dial that up. Producer Hank was supposed to have these clips ready to go, but he failed me. And so I guess I'll just do it all myself. I almost dropped his name. I was going to do a joke off the cuff, but I didn't. I didn't do it. Okay. Takeaways from that, and the main reason I pick it for overacting is because, and I don't know, I've switched back and forth Ray Allen-esque on this multiple times, but for some reason for me it feels so overly dramatic to yell medic when you fucking hurt your ankle. Like she's acting like she's like in like combat. Like, you're not, like, this is, you're not storming the beaches of Normandy. You sprained your ankle on a football field. Like, I see Terrell Owens in the chat. If Terrell Owens went down at fucking Jerry World, he wouldn't call medic. He'd call trainer or doctor. And Anissa's out there, medic, oh my God, my fucking ankle. And it's just like, give me a fucking break. The other smirky thing was how little CT cared about that. I mean, he gave less than zero fucks. And that, I mean, that's all time. And I know I'm with you, Mikey, the doctor. I think it's time we get Tony back. I've been asking that for a while now. I don't know if there's any sort of like trailers or anything where we might be able to see him soon. I guess we'll wait to see. Okay. Couple left. We've got a new category special for this episode. What does Tony Romo's director's commentary look like for Anissa's career? I think it looks something like this. She's going into another goal, Jim. Paula's going to be tough again, Jim. I don't know, Jim. All right, and that was the Tony Romo's Director's Commentary Award. The next award is the Joey Pants Award for the biggest that guy in Anissa's career. And this is relevant because I just showed him on the screen. So, like, obviously, we talk about the challenge day in and day out. We're super fans. We're fucking obnoxious with it. And so almost every single person you put in front of me, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's Trishelle, that's Diem, that's Tyree, that's Dunbar. Like, I'm going to know who it is. But someone in that clip I just showed from Chomps versus Stars, Casper Smart, you see that guy. And the reason it's even more relevant is because I actually see him a lot on my Instagram feed because he does that, like, those bullshit TikTok dances. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, that guy, that's fucking, he was with Drake Bell. He was, Casper Smart. So I'm going to give the Joey Pants That Guy Award to Casper Smart. All right. Half-assed internet research. This is where you kind of do some sleuthing. We dig into a little bit of fun facts about Anissa. First is going to be, the fact that Anissa's birthday, as mentioned, is September 11th, 9/11. Not only that, but her Real World season of Real World Chicago was being filmed on the actual 9/11/2001. And it's a clip that I haven't seen the full episode, but I've definitely seen the clip. And they, like, you know, obviously the big thing about the Real World and the challenge is you don't get any technology. You don't get email. You don't get cell phones. You don't get anything, right? It's just you and your, you and the seven people. But they actually like rolled in a TV, very like substitute teacher-esque, and they showed them like the news, because like obviously this is, you know, one of the biggest fucking deals ever. And they like were watching live with the world as we saw the World Trade Centers go down. So that's just kind of a, I mean, I definitely won't say fun fact, but that is a fact. You cannot argue that. Okay, segueing to something less depressing, more half-assed internet research. Jumped the gun there, Trev. That's okay. Shout out, Hank. One more piece of half-assed internet research. I mentioned at the jump, Anissa is from Narbeth, Pennsylvania, which I did a little digging. If you have a Narbeth address, you fall under the Lower Merion School District of Philadelphia. If Lower Merion sounds familiar to you, that is because one Kobe Bean Bryant attended there as a 17 and 18-year-old basketball prodigy. Let's see, one second. Sorry, I got some virus on my computer. Probably been watching too much Sydney Sweet, or too many of those older challenge seasons, you know, from the sketchy websites. So anyways, Anissa is from Lower Merion. She went to Lower Merion High School, and she's only 3 years younger than Kobe Bryant, which means she would have been a freshman when Kobe was a senior. And so you know how when you watch a Rams game, and almost guaranteed every single time they show the picture of Clayton Kershaw and Matt Stafford, I just imagine there's a picture out there somewhere from like choir or like band or something where it's like Anissa Ferrara, Kobe Bryant, and you know they do the little zoom ins. So I don't know. That's just fucking funny to me. All right. Stephen A. Smith, hottest take. This is where you come to the table with your biggest hot take about Anissa. In my case, if you are sticking with me, you might turn off the podcast with what I'm about to say. So go ahead and buckle in. Go ahead and make sure you are secure inside your Gringotts trolley, because I'm about to hit you with something you're not going to like. My Stephen A. hottest take is that Anissa Ferrara could win a flagship challenge in the coming years. Hear me out. You got to hear my rationale before you cancel me forever. If you look back at the recent finales, it is not about who is the fastest. It is not even about who has the best endurance. It is about not giving up until the very end of the finale, at which point you will be put through very trivial games and a very short foot race to the finish line. We just saw it like 2 weeks ago. We just fucking saw it 2 weeks ago. No, she doesn't even need to lose 75 pounds. Here's the funny fucking thing about it, Mikey the Doctor. She can lose 75 pounds or she can stay right the fuck where she's at. If she were to have been on the challenge battle of a new champion or whatever, all she would have had to do is make it from checkpoint to checkpoint. Even if she got last, what happened? You go into elimination, you do a puzzle. Okay, you think she's beating or losing to Jay in a puzzle? She's gonna win. All you have to do is progress to the next phase and then make it to the final phase where you get more puzzles. And then what do you think that final sprint was? What do you think that final sprint was? Like a mile? I'm not saying she's gonna break out like Usain Bolt times here, but let's say she runs a 20-minute mile. And the next person behind her is Emmanuel, who at that point in the final, after multiple days, is running in, let's say, an eight-minute mile at best. Maybe it's probably like 9 or 10. She only has to beat him by 11 minutes in puzzles. So that's why my take is that Anissa could win a final. Notice I did not say would win, because I have too much respect for myself. Okay. We're getting close. Apex Mountain. Apex Mountain is when Anissa has the most juice, she's at the peak of her powers, if you will. I'm not going to take nominees here. I think this is pretty obvious for me. I think it's after Duel 2. So after Duel 2, Anissa has done 6 seasons. She's made it to 2 finals in her first 6 seasons. She's 6-2 in eliminations. She's already had multiple kind of hookups, arguments. So she has multiple candidates for Rivals Nexus seasons, which are to come. And so I think that's kind of when she had the most juice. I think she was a shoe-in for return invites after Duel 2. And so I think that's her apex. And then my last category for tonight before we shift gears here, I'm way over my quota. So, you know, for those of you that were chirping saying I was never going to hit 45 minutes, you can suck on my, I don't know. I was trying to think of something clever. I love you guys. You don't have to do that. You guys are awesome. My last rewatchables category is best quote. And honestly, this is anticlimactic to end on because I couldn't think of any. And it's weird because you think of Anissa as being somebody that has good sound bites, but nothing came to my mind. I checked the challenge wiki. I obviously told you I watched multiple YouTube clips about Anissa. I didn't capture anything particularly interesting. I asked ChatGPT and like they were all very generic, almost like fortune cookie type quotes. So I think I'm gonna veto this award. I think we're just gonna say best quote is help, help, I'm stuck on the pig roast, help, help. I think we're gonna give the award to that. So all right. That's it for the rewatchables categories. Mikey's testing me today. I'm gonna take a quick pulse of the audience. We are, according to my clock, we are 61 minutes in. I will cut you with words. Is that not choral? That feels chorally, but I also feel that could be maybe a problematic take on my part. I don't know. We'll get the stats department on that one. But point taken, Alex. Appreciate that. All right, let me go this route with you guys. I've got maybe 2 to 3 trivia questions I can dole out, and then I've got MVP, LVP, and I'm also completely open for what I would like to call chat takeover. Well, so chat takeover is where we'll call it FAQs. So your options are trivia, FAQs from the chat, or we go directly to MVP, LVP. What do you guys want? We're 61 minutes in. Again, I know I'm well over my... I think I've exceeded the amount of time those idiots covered the literal finale of the show we just watched for 28 weeks. So credit to Meadows. Let's just be honest there. What do you guys want? Where can I go? You gave me 2 answers. That's not against the rules. The first thing I see is we're taking over. Second thing I see is trivia. We'll go trivia. Andy's bailing. No surprise there. I mean, we all know that. Okay, let's go through some trivia questions. All right, there are 9 contestants. Anissa is one of them. So you need to tell me 8 other contestants who have appeared on a flagship challenge, a Chance versus Stars, and an All-Stars. So that's a flagship challenge. And I mean, this obviously is all somewhat recent because the first Chance versus Stars was at the start of this podcast, I think. So 8 other people aside from Anissa. Let's hear some names. Let's see the names. You guys are crushing it. Okay. I'm not allowed to say Alex's answer, but one of those is correct. Yes, you guys are getting it. Our All-Stars 4 does count. It does clunt, as they would say. You wouldn't call your country a cunt, is what I would say. Veronica, good poll, Mikey. That was probably the toughest of the answers. I think you are missing one. You're missing one, which is Trevor got Tony. That was one of the other tough ones. You're missing one. It is a female. She has been mentioned this podcast. You are missing one, Alex. She has been described as somebody who is a good candidate to fill one of three positions in a very common game that gentlemen might play with their buddies over a few drinks, is a hint that I might share as I do my Stewie voice. Maybe a game you play with your buddies, having a few brewskis. Maybe something you play when you're discussing the merits of a female's attractiveness. Maybe someone who's friends with Jenna. Really? Okay. The answer was, we asked that novel you were working on. Yep. Good answers. Nobody's got it. It's Kayla. People forget that. Which, how is Kayla an all-star? Like, that's my question. Like, I thought all-star was, I don't know, Jim. Okay. Next trivia question. I've got two more. No, I'm sorry. I've got one more. Okay. Anissa and Jordan are two of 10 people to lose an elimination during a final challenge. So I need 8 additional people who have lost during a final. And these are also obviously pretty new-ish because they haven't been doing that for that long. So Rogan is correct. That's a good poll. He lost to the Banana Man. It's a good poll. Let's see. Got any other guesses? Tick, tick, tick. You guys want me to do fastest 2 minutes again? That's fun. Nani, that's a good answer. CT is no. CT, that's not correct. Jay and Mariah, that is correct. Those are the two newest. So you've got Rogan, Jay, Mariah, and Nani so far. You need 8 more. Nelson is correct. See, that's the one I couldn't remember that one. Alex, you'll have to tell me. I could not remember that one, but that's correct. You got 5. Multiple CT guesses. CT is not correct. Are you doing that on purpose? No. Fezzi and Casey and JoJo do not count. They're not on this list, at least. No, I think that's, I think you're trying to tickle the ball sack with that one, Andy. But no, that is not correct. You're missing the very first one, which was on a season in which, yes, Alex got Hunter. okay, so you are missing 2 people, and they both happened on All Stars 3. That's your hint. So I know not all of you guys are big All Stars fans, but one of them has already been mentioned tonight in the chat. And it's a separate trivia question, which was not correct. She is also somebody who has been on this podcast before. Kellyanne is correct. Kellyanne lost in the All-Stars 3 finale. And the male that lost was Mark Long. Good poll, Mikey the Doctor. Okay. That wraps it up for trivia for today. We have one final segment for tonight. And that is going to be MVP, LVP. So you guys know the drill. Let's see. Go ahead and throw the order in the chat. You know, we'll do a snake draft as usual. So I want to see the order here, and we'll get going. First order I see is the one we go with. Let's see. You feel like usually Mikey the Doctor's on top of this. I don't know which direction you guys want to go in here. Sid. Let's see here. okay. I think they all came in at the same time, so I'll just pick randomly. I'm going to go with Mikey the Doctors. So he says Adam. Okay, so I guess I'll go first. Try not to get lost in sauce. This is actually the one part of the podcast I didn't plan out was my own MVP LVP picks. Now, if there are other picks that come forward after, those might have been planned out in advance. I think she earned it. I'll be honest. This wasn't as big of a punishment as the Habbies thought it was going to be. This was fun. I really enjoyed digging back into the archives. Even though I couldn't watch Battle of the Sexes because MTV does not care about broadening the reach of their audience. Apparently they care about broadening to Argentina and Chile and the UK and anywhere else and wherever the fuck they pull Kaz or Kaz or whatever. But they don't care about broadening the reach of the people within their own backyard, because I wanted to watch Battle of the Sexes and I couldn't. So all that to say, I enjoyed doing this prep work. So I'm going to give my MVP to Anissa. She earned it. She made this exercise fun for me. Again, if it would have been somebody like Jessica from Portland, it would have been horrible. I think you guys really failed in giving me someone like Anissa, who had such an illustrious career. Whether or not it was successful, it was certainly illustrious. So MVP is going to be Anissa, and LVP. LVP, I kind of want to go for somebody on this recent season. But yeah, the producer tonight, he did struggle. LVP, I'm going to go with, I'm gonna go chalk. I'm gonna go Jay. Just to be clear, I'm gonna go with Jay. I'm gonna go with Jay from fucking Survivor, right? I can't think of his last name right now, but you know the guy with the Rocky Dennis Jay. We'll just say that the Rocky Dennis Jay. I'm gonna go Jay with my LVP. He was terrible all year. I had a strong suspicion he was gonna win the whole thing, and I was really worried about that. So okay. Yeah, damn it. That should have been a canned joke. That's top tier. That's top tier. Can't believe that fell to honorable mention. Honorable mention MVPs. You guys know I was a huge fan of Zaza all season long. I think Zaza would have won that final in a blowout. Honorable mention LVP. It's not that I dislike this person. Like, I'm not a complete 180 from the rest of the co-hosts here, but you guys were very high on Nerys, and I don't know. I think it was just a factor of how bad the season was and how bad the people around her were that made her look so likable to you. I'm more neutral is what I'll say. I'm not saying she's like, don't bring her back or anything, but I heard things like face of the challenge from the female side. I heard things like, I think Trev said automatic 5-year guaranteed renewal. I'm not there, buddy. Like, I'm not there. What led to you being the one doing the solo pod? That's a great question. So the boys took a trip back in January. I think Critico might know about this, but we did a dagger pull. And some might say that the mechanics of this dagger pull skewed a certain way. Now, I'm certainly not saying that. I just think that there are people who maybe look at it with an objective mindset and maybe look at it with like a mathematic or statistic mindset that say the odds of me being the one in this position were higher than the odds of any other person being in this position. But again, who am I to judge? I think though, with that, I should probably kick it over to one final surprise for tonight, because as you guys are aware, I was experiencing a lot of, let's just be honest. We'll call it a lot of hate, a lot of propaganda. I've mentioned that word a few times, by the way. Well, you know what? No, we're going to put that on pause for a second. I was experiencing a lot of just the spewing of hate over the X's of the world, over the Chots of the world, over the GCs of the world. And I'm here to dispel all those notions. Look, these bans or these suspensions or these blackout periods, whatever you want to call it, they're all just a farce. I can come on the pod whenever I want. I get the restream link invite every single EP. We all know me and Trev have the secret alliance. We all know next year for the January-February Bloomington trip, we all know we're forming an alliance against Alex. So this is just silly, guys. We're not thinking the right way about it, okay? So I want to dispel all those notions. The other thing I'll mention is that I still to date am responsible for bringing the most prominent challenge person on this podcast, okay? I got Fezzy to have Andy shaking in his boots, okay? Meanwhile, Alex is over here getting Dario's brother and fucking Trey. And in those episodes, Trev said a total of 18 words. So, look, you want to say, okay, I'm non-committal, or I only join two to three times a season. That might be true. But when I show up, and I mean business. And for that reason, that is why I have secured a special guest appearance for MVP LVP tonight. I took it upon myself to send a direct message. That's a DM, not to be confused with DM Brown. I sent a direct message to a few challenge fan favorites, and I got a couple of call-in MVP LVP awards. So without further ado, let's go in here from our first guest.
Well, if it isn't one of my best friends in the entire world, Adam Vitos. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I hope you know how truly special it is to be in the presence of not just a good podcaster, not just a great podcaster, but the GOAT of podcasting. It is truly an honor to be here on Stir the Pod for the first time. I know Adam and I have gone back and forth at a certain point. I think we talked about getting maybe the FTP board on guest taxes and bananas. But really, let's be honest, I only meet Adam Vitos. He's the GOAT anyways. Look, if we're being honest, I think the power rankings of STP co-hosts, it goes something like, obviously Adam number one, then you got Trev, then I think you go McCord, then there's a huge drop-off. I'll go Andy with another pretty large drop-off, and then Alex. Like, we all know that, right? I mean, listen, the thing about Adam, it's just like, buddy, guys like me, guys like Adam, CK, Kenny, Evan, we're just cut from a different cloth. And so that's why I just an honor to be here on the same airwaves as Adam. So with it, I'll keep it brief. I'm going to drop my MVP, LVP votes. I think for MVP, there's really only one choice. I'm going to get it to my main man, my close personal friend, Adam Vitos. Congrats from the MVP tonight, buddy. LVP, let's see. A lot of different ways I can go. You know what? I'm going to go with that little bitch boy, Jay. No. Not the one that, got my sloppy stat games with Morgan. No. I'm going X's to Jay. We kept him as a layup all the way to the final. He shit the bed. And now I see he's back on my screen in All-Stars 4. I mean, who's making these decisions? I always like to say I kind of come to these things with a producer mindset. And the fact that they're bringing that fucking Jay Garrett or whatever his name is, that makes me sick to my stomach. So LVP, Jay. All right, boys, it's been a pleasure. Shout out Duffy. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. I mean, you heard it from the GOAT himself, Johnny Bananas DeVanzio. I don't know. Let's see if we have one more of these.
Well. If it isn't Stir the Pod, the only podcast that I would recommend ahead of my own reality TV show, The Blocks, the only piece of content that I would recommend head and shoulders above my own Patreon, where I, Wes Bergman, recap the challenge and all of the spinoffs. It is truly an honor to be here tonight. I think I heard Bananas' remarks. Leave it to Bananas to steal my thunder yet again with a bunch of pre-written jokes. I also was going to give Adam my MVP tonight. But I guess instead, I'll go ahead and give my MVP to Trevor. Trevor's produced a fantastic podcast. He's a little bit like the sidekick tonight. A little bit, I feel like Adam has kind of been rounding up the rookies, getting some of this content available to the listeners. So you know what? Well done, Trev. For LVT, it's kind of bullshit that Adam has to do the solo pod for 45 minutes. I mean, I played with Anissa, and to make him do 45 minutes on Anissa without mentioning me Wes Bergman by MAME, that's just cruel in nature. So I'm giving my LBP to Alex. Listen, it's a pleasure to be here, boys. Anytime you're in Kansas City, feel free to drop by the office. I doubt any of you would have ever done that in the past or will ever do that in the future, but it's an open invite. Drop by my office. I would love to see you there. Take care. Shout out, Duffy. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, boys and girls, it's been fun. I've had a blast with you. I think we dished out some good awards. I think we covered the gamut of Anissa's career. I think we had fun while doing it. You heard a couple of good LVP picks. Look, I abided by the rules. I personally did not mention that person's name. I know. My hands are tied. If he wants to come on the podcast, he wants to come on the podcast. It sounds like he's opening the door for maybe a full-fledged interview at some point. So we've got the end there. With that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, everybody. Follow us on Twitter at SirThePod. You will see our season recap here soon. And guess what? Mitos will be there. All right, boys. Shout out, Duffy. Love you guys. Bye-bye.